Good morning, welcome. We are continuing the series on fundamentals, where we are going through the, don't really want to say building blocks of our faith, but it is the foundation of our faith, to look at what are fundamentals, or not fundamentals, foundational truths about our faith, that knowing that helps us to understand God better, and what we know we can love, and what we and therefore, it is important that we know these things about God and who He is, and the Word and Jesus. And this morning, we were looking at the Holy Spirit. We've looked at God, the Father. We've looked at the Word of God. We've looked at Jesus, the Son of God. And this morning, we're looking at God, the Holy Spirit. The nature of this, I had to remind myself, it's a sermon and not a lecture, because my mind wants to go to lecturing. So I'm really trying to hold it where it is and remind myself I am very charismatic, in the sense of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and that. So I'm just letting God lead this morning, because when I had all my verses down there, I was like, that's way too many verses. So if you feel I've left something out, just know the verses was there, but I decided for your sake to leave it out, because this is a sermon. So if you want them, I can give it to you and all of that. So I'm just going to preach this morning. So let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And I want to speak this morning about God the Holy Spirit, but focus on the work of the Holy Spirit and what He does in our lives and how we relate and all of that. And we begin with Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Jesus, before He ascended into heaven, He said to the disciples, the apostles, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, so that you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the world." That sets the scene for what is about to unfold as you work through the book of Acts. And I want to encourage you, if you feel like that car battery on a winter morning, that you are ready for work, you are dressed, and you're inserting your key, you are ready for the day, and you turn it because in winter, old cars, battery runs flat. Happened to us the other day. And then we could call Rudy. So thank you for that, Rudy. But that feeling that maybe you feel this morning like you are that car battery. Like everything is ready, but there's just no fire. There's just no nothing. And I want to preach to you this morning that by the end of the sermon, there will be some power. There will be, that battery will be recharged in Jesus' name this morning. And that sets the scene for what unfolds in the book of Acts. And as you read through Acts, you just see a move of the Holy Spirit that changed the world upside down. Because it ends with Paul in Rome. That's like the ends of the earth. But what is more amazingly, as we look on to Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the moment, and I'm jumping ahead of myself, but it's okay. I'm sure it's okay. When the Holy Spirit was poured out, when they were in the room and they were all speaking in tongues, people from all over the world was in Jerusalem at that time, and they heard the word of God in their own language. And that we see as an inverse from Genesis 10 and 11, where man said, "Let us unite ourselves and we can become great, that everything we set our mind to, we can do." So they built a tower, or they tried to reach God, because making man great. And God said, "I told you to be fruitful and multiply, not to huddle as one. Now be spread out." And God caused people just to speak in different languages, and that naturally caused, well, I can't understand you, so I'll go with my people that I can understand. And that's how it spread out. But we see that an inverse of that happening when the Holy Spirit came, and immediately at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the ends of the earth were already engaged in hearing the gospel. That's just so amazing. Anyway, so this morning we're looking at the Holy Spirit. He is God. How do we know that He is God? And I just want to give one or two verses. I don't know if it's there. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. Did I leave that part out? Okay, no, it's fine. If I left it out, it was for a reason. He's saying that there was a guy, Ananias and his wife. They go and they sell everything, because that's what happened in the early church. They got so converted, and they started a new community called, as we know, the church. And what they did is they sold everything, and they gave it to the church so that everyone can have everything, and they share among themselves so that no one had any lack. Now, Ananias and his wife, they went and they sold everything, and they gave only some to the church. I don't think the sin is that they held some back for themselves. The sin is that they lied about it. And they said they gave everything, but they didn't give everything. They held some back for themselves. And here, Peter said to Ananias, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? After it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Lying to the Holy Spirit is lying to God, because the Holy Spirit is God. So moving on from that. So you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. And then we see that's where the next verse comes in, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. And I want to focus on three things this morning. I want to focus on the working of the Holy Spirit, knowing that He is God, the working of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to look at the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to speak of the equipping of the Holy Spirit, which is gifts of the Spirit, and then living with the Holy Spirit, which is fruit of the Spirit. So I'm going to look at those three things this morning, just so you know. And first one, the indwelling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly, if this was a big church and very charismatic, I would say suddenly. So suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Just imagine you're in a house, most likely doors are closed, and you feel a rushing wind. I would be like, where's this wind coming from? Maybe they didn't have a chance to think that thought, because, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they spoke in tongues and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happens from this moment forward is Peter goes out and he preaches the first sermon, and 3,000 people get saved and baptized. And we see the world as they know it begin to change completely. If you want to, that's what I wanted to say also with the flat battery, is that if you want that battery to be filled in your devotional life, if you are saying that, God, I really want to go, I really want to grow, but I just don't know where to start, read the book of Acts. Not at snail's pace, but a little bit faster, maybe. Read through it as fast as you can, because you're going to miss it if you read it too slow. Just to see how the Holy Spirit moved to bring people closer to God. It is just simply amazing that after I read through Acts the first time, it felt like I just want to pray for everything. Just be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just be healed. And I was just so zealous and on fire, and I still am, but I'm just making a case to encourage you to read Acts. That's where I want to go. And we see in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, I don't think the verse is there, but it's okay, that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, Paul alludes to this when he says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit with you, whom you have from God? That there was a time when the temple was there. The Holy Spirit was confined to the Holy of Holies. And what makes the Holy of Holies so holy is that you had to go through a purification ritual to enter into the most holy of holies. And when this priest went through his sanctifying rituals or cleansing rituals, he would go in to spend time in the holy of holies, but it was just not let's let him go in, he's going to come out. It's like maybe there's something in his life that's still not right and he doesn't know, or maybe he knows and he's just not repenting of it, or whatever the case may be. So they had to tie a cord around his waist with a bell on, so that when he goes and he walks around the Holy of Holies, this bell on this cord would ring, so that should he fall dead in the presence of the Lord because of sin in his life, they can pull him out and send in someone else. Like, that really brings the fear of the Lord in you to enter into the Holy of Holies. But the most amazing thing, when Jesus died on the cross, that veil of the Holy of Holies, it tore. And that signifies that the presence of God is no longer confined to the Holy of Holies. It is poured out for us all to receive. And that is what is happening at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that God is no longer there, that we visit him somewhere there in Jerusalem, and only the elect of the elect priests can go in there, because it was just not everyone that can go in, which is But us, mere men, can now be indwelled by the presence of God, that is no longer confined. He is now available for us all. And Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. And when the Holy Spirit comes, you do receive power. You receive power to live the life that God called you to live. Because we need the Holy Spirit. Jesus says that he's calling us to be holy because he is holy. And then he knows we can't do that on our own. That's why, number one, he had to die for us so that we can be made righteous before God. And secondly, he sends the Holy Spirit. God comes and indwells us to give us everything we need to live for him, that we don't lack anything because we have God living in us. And that calls on us. That's why I want to end with the fruit of the Spirit, because having God in you, it brings change to your life, that you simply cannot remain the same. Because as that high priest, when he would go in and there might be some sin in his life, he would fall dead and someone had to pull him out. For us, we live repentant lives and say, Lord, forgive me for the sin that I know that I did. And maybe if there's something that I don't know, please forgive me of that. Show me how to live a sanctified life for you. That God gives us himself to live the life he called us to do, to live for him. And on that, as the apostles continue to preach the gospel, and you just see in Acts, sometimes when we read the Bible, we think it's one continuous, like night and day, like it was night and then day, and then this event happened, and then the next verse was the next day. But I want to turn us to Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 7. It's Paul in Ephesus, and this is 19 years after the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit, which is so amazing with the filling of the Holy Spirit, is that specifically to the church in Rome, is that there were Jews from all over the world that came to Jerusalem and they heard the gospel preached, and they went back home and they preached the gospel. And the gospel reached the Gentiles. And the Roman church started that way without someone visiting them and preaching the gospel. It's just amazing. But anyway, Acts 19 years. I'm not saying Acts 1 is 1 year, Acts 2 is 2 years. I'm just saying Acts 19 is 19. Thank you, Ardis. Someone's getting my jokes. That's good. And he says, and it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. How many are we? No, I'm just, it's just coming. I'm not even trying. That there are two baptisms, and John the Baptist says that he comes after me will baptize you in a fire. That is the Holy Spirit. So there's baptism of water and baptism or the infilling of the Holy Spirit that we speak of. That if you've not been baptized yet in water, this is an invitation. We have awesome, we have a pool there. We've baptized many people there. We don't arrange a specific date and say this is baptism Sunday. Every Sunday is baptism Sunday. So just bring your clothes and we can journey through what it means to be baptized and is there. So just so you all know, there's an open invitation. And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we read from this verse, is the laying on of hands. And when the Holy Spirit comes on them, there was manifest gifts. We are to charismatic, which means that we believe these gifts did not cease in the Bible, that it is still active to this day. We believe in him speaking in tongues, praying for the sick, prophesying, all of what I'm going to read now. So I'm just saying this, that when the Holy Spirit comes, there is something that is happening in our lives. And God not only indwells us to give us everything he needs, he also gives us the tools we need to go and witness for him. Like Nathan the other morning, he's obsessed with any toy that has batteries in them. So he would bring me any tool in the house that's lying around that he would think will open this battery thing, because he wants to remove the batteries and inspect it and then do something else with it. And now he's learned that he can remove batteries from this toy and put it in that toy. But sometimes the AA and AAA batteries is still not, no, these are small, these are big. And now he knows that small, so I can remove here and there. So he brings the, because they've become smart, just for those who don't know, that kids' toys that work with batteries, nowadays, they don't just close normally. They have a screw that you have to unscrew to open the battery for safety reasons. I mean, if Nathan could remove it, he would. So he comes to me, that's at least safe. But he brings me the wrong tool. Nine times out of a ten. And I have to say, no, Nathan, this is not the right tool. Bring me another tool. So God gives us what we need to be effective witnesses for him. And that we call the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That is, as we see here, when the Holy Spirit came, there was a release of gifts of tongues and a prophecy. And I want to encourage you guys to pray and ask God, Lord, what gift is there? What do you want to raise me up against? Or what do you want to, what gift do you want to use me for? What gift? Pray about it and ask God to show you and reveal to you. Because in this day and age, same as back then, we need prophecy. We need speaking in tongues. We need praying for the sick because they witness. As you will hopefully go and read through Acts, you will see that when they preach the gospel, they both debated with the intellectuals and they performed signs and miracles because it gives evidence or miracles gives affirmation of the message that was preached. That is miracles. And the purpose of these gifts, if I can go to 1 Corinthians 12, but I'll also say something about that, that the purpose of the gifts is to build up the church, that as people get saved and they come into the church, the gifts are there to build up the body of Christ. And I just want to preface that Acts 1 Corinthians 12, it's not the only place where gifts are mentioned. If I will give you a list, we would be here for a few minutes, because we can start at Exodus. We can start at Genesis and go through gifts. My one amazing one is in is when God speaks to Moses and he says, use these architects for building so the temple. because I filled them with my spirit for this. And I said, oh, that's a gift of the spirit. So anyway, we see in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, 1 Peter 4, and Ephesians 4, that's just a short list of the gifts that are there. So it's not limited to just these gifts that we read here. It is a exhaustive list. So from verse 1 goes, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed, and I don't want you to be uninformed, church, that these gifts are still active. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. It's not different gods that give different gifts, and Paul had to clarify that to them, and it goes to know that to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That's the purpose. It is for the common good. It is for the upbuilding of the church. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, so to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one according to his will. Maybe, I don't know what church you grew up with, and maybe this sounds foreign to you. It's okay. I'm trusting God to speak to you about this, that it is normative in the Christian faith to function in these gifts, and we can trust God and ask him to give us these gifts. And at the end, I would like to pray for you, if that is maybe you, for baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then we trust God what he wants to do with that. But God equips us to be effective witnesses for him, for the building of the church, for the to common good. And I want to encourage you this morning to grow in the gifting that God has given you. Maybe there's been a time in your walk with God that you knew God was busy raising you up as a prophetic voice, or someone that has the faith to pray for healing, and that has died down. I want to remind you to fan it to flame, the gift that God has given you. Do not let it simmer down. Don't be that guy that had that one gift and then buried it, saying, Lord, it's so precious, I don't want to lose it. Use it for the glory of the kingdom of God. How amazing is it when you receive a word from someone, or someone comes and prays for you and said, I'm just sensing God saying something. Can I just pray for you? Maybe you don't have the words, but God is just putting someone on your heart and saying, I don't know what to say. And said, Lord, help me with the words to say, but I'm going to go and I'm going to go to the person. And if you don't give me the words to say, I'm at least going to pray for that person, because you are putting it on my heart to do. That gifts grow through obedience, that God doesn't take away, but it calls on us to be obedient to what he has given to us, to say, I'm gonna use what God has given me. And I'm speaking specifically of spiritual gifts, that which comes from God, that God gives to equip us to be effective witnesses. Maybe there's a situation that you are facing, and it just seems like chaos. Like sometimes life can just happen, but then there's chaos in the midst of what is unfolding. Maybe there's family conflict. Maybe it's just something like your car just keeps on breaking. We had that as a family 1 year, where driving down our lovely Solomon Mahlangu, there was a pothole. One evening, I drove with my car, hit the pothole. Drove with V's car, a few days later, the same pothole. And I'm just like, Okay, this is probably a coincidence that we're losing two tires in a week's time, but God is just making me aware that maybe it's something else. And then in that span, Nathan got sick, V got sick, I got sick, and things were just chaotic. And I'm not someone to look for the enemy. I trust God to show me the enemy. I don't go look for things because I trust God for discernment when there's something that he wants me to be reminded of. And I just remember one evening praying and God just reminding me, this is not normal. This is just not the way it is. And I said, God, show me where this comes from and why it's there. And God showed me and we sorted that out. It was not sin, just to say. It was, what was it? It was just something that God showed us to refrain from. And the moment we did that, everything just, there were no more random breakdowns and things like that. And I believe God wants us to walk in discernment to know, is this from God or is it not from God? Because it is important. Sometimes you can face a situation and you don't know, left or right, both seem fine. But Lord, which one is it that you want me to take? Lord, show me discernment about this. Maybe you can just meet someone and you just have this feeling and you're saying, Lord, just show me what it is that's making me feel uncomfortable. Is it something in me? Am I having preconceived ideas about someone because of something? Or is it you warning me or bringing something to my mind that I need to know in this situation? That we need the Holy Spirit to live in this day. Because it is so important. We cannot do it on our own. And that brings me to living in the Holy Spirit, living as a Spirit-filled believer. And for that, I want to turn to Galatians 5, verse 22 to 25. That when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you receive baptism of the Holy Spirit, there will be some signs in your life that there is change happening in and around you that maybe at the beginning you can't explain. Maybe a friend or someone close to you would just come and say, hey, something's different about you. Like, I don't know what it is. Or maybe it's this, or I never knew you to be someone full of joy and now you're just always smiling. And that is the Holy Spirit. And what gives evidence of that is what Paul is saying here in Galatians 5 verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. That what do we do when we are filled with the Holy Spirit? What do we do? How do we live? We live in a manner being led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit is depending on the Holy Spirit, saying, Lord, this day is a new blank page. What do you want me to know? What do you want me to focus on? What is there that I need the Holy Spirit to convict me of sin in my life? I need the Holy Spirit to show me where I'm doing things that I should not be doing, or when I'm living in a way that I should not be living. Because we sometimes live with measuring ourselves against what is normative around us. Like, well, if someone else speeds, I can speed. And one day you're speeding down the highway, like you just feel this into conviction, like maybe I just need to obey the law a little, you know, because what if something happens? Or not living in that frame of mind, but just saying that need the Holy Spirit to convict you of sin to live a sanctified life for God. And that means to be led by the Holy Spirit. But maybe you might not hear the Holy Spirit speak to you if you're not attentive to hear what he's saying. I remember a few years ago, I was very much into gymming and eating healthy and everything. And I used to pack a big lunch. not to go into much detail, but it was like big portions of food five times a day. And one day at work, I was sitting there with my lunch and cooler, and I took my first lunch bag out for the day. And I just sat there and I opened it up and I put my fork into my cold food because that's how devoted I was to eating food. I'm not going to waste time eating now. I'm just going to eat it as is. Brussels sprouts cold was my favorite thing. No, I'm joking, but it wasn't that bad. Anyway, and I just, as I went for this lunch bag, the Holy Spirit just convicted me saying, "You're busy with gluttony." And I just packed up my lunch, just put it away. And I said to my wife, "I don't think I should be following this lifestyle anymore because I don't think that's what God has for me." I have no problem with people doing that. I'm just saying my walk with God. It felt so normal because I've been doing it for a few years. But on that day, God spoke to me so clearly. I was sitting in a lab at work, aircon on my shoulders. And I just like, "Okay, Lord." And when God speaks, there is a choice to obey or to disobey. And maybe I could have not wasted food, but it felt just, if I'm going to continue with this, I'm going to sin. And I just stopped. So I'm okay looking the way I don't maybe want to look, but at least in my heart, my conscience is clear before the Lord that if I want to engage in that lifestyle, I know that's not what God has for me. And I need to be obedient in that. Not saying I can just let loose and let go. No, I still have to look after my body, but just in more healthier, different ways and pray about things, because God does not want things to consume us. God does not want our love for things to consume us. And He is wise in a wisdom to lead us away from what would destroy us or be harmful for us, but it calls on us to know that I need the Holy Spirit in my life to lead and guide me, because I don't want to make choices and decisions without the Holy Spirit. Because if God speaks about one thing and you go against what God is saying, and that's what we call disobedience, and then we're going to have to reap the fruits of that. Maybe it's a bad financial decision or something else. And now you have to live through that decision and say, "Lord, forgive me and show me the wisdom in what to do." And God is so gracious. We can always go back to the garden to understand the grace of God, which is what I will speak on next week. Knowing the grace of God is that the moment Adam and Eve sinned, they withdrew themselves from God. God did not withdraw himself from them. He went to them and he went looking for them and he said, "Where are you?" And he found them clothed with leaves that were not that comfortable. And looking on them, God took skin of an animal and he clothed them. He restored their dignity. He was gracious towards them. And he's gracious to us in sending his son Jesus to restore the relationship that went lost that day. And not only did he send his son Jesus to die in our place so that we can be made right before God, he also sent the Holy Spirit to give us everything we need to live a life that glorifies God. And with that, I want to leave you this morning to encourage you that if you feel a hunger and say, "I need the Holy Spirit," or what you're saying I've never heard before, come, let us pray for you. Let us trust God for what he wants to do. Don't leave here this morning if you feel God stir in your heart. Let us pray for you. So let me pray for you, and then you can put up the music. And then, Father, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus that you love us so much, that you care for us, that you lead us, that you sent your son Jesus to die in our place so that we can be restored back into relationship with you, and sending the Holy Spirit, your word in 2 Corinthians at the end says, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that we fellowship with you, Holy Spirit, that we know you are among us. And I pray, Lord, that those you want to reach and touch this morning, I pray May you move mightily in your church this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.